chapter 20. We're looking at another resurrection appearance. In John chapter number 20, verse number 19, stand please while we read the Word of God. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. And ask God to help us here tonight in a special way. Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus and thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God, open the Word of God, hear the singing of the songs and the privilege to worship and giving and the privilege just of fellowship and worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come this way. I pray for those that have come back in and been away, and I pray you bless them and help them. I pray for those tonight that's not well in body, you'd help them, that's here in this house. And there's some here tonight that need to get right with God, and I pray for them and ask you in Jesus' name, night be the night they'd see that need and they'd want to come, let Jesus Christ help them. I pray for that. Lord, somehow tonight, I plead, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts and deal with lives. May the Holy Spirit do a deep work, and we'll thank you for what you do. I pray tonight for Sister Galena and her family, and while they're away, I pray for the children, and I pray you'd watch over and care for them, and then give Jonathan and Galena traveling grace and mercy and help them minister that family there and be a help and a blessing to them. I pray you bless the health and their family. Help us be a blessing. Help to them, then all those that are sick. I ask you, God, to touch them and help them. But most of all, help us be witnesses for the Lord Jesus, and our lives be what they ought to be in the sight of a holy God. We thank you and praise you. Plead the blood tonight. I pray you rebuke the devil. Plead Jesus and his saving grace and power. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Don't forget about Sister Galena and Brother Jonathan gone overseas. Her mother passed away, and they made that trip over there and won't be back for another week. And so pray for them. God, I help them. Bless them. In the Word of God, as we just read this familiar scripture, you've heard it read many, many times. And I'm not going to re-preach what I've been preaching, but I am going to go back and recap just for a few moments. For the sake of those who come in may not have been with us, we've been preaching and using the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. And we know that he conquered the devil. We know he conquered the death. We know he came out alive. We know that he lives. And so we know he's in victory in those things. And then these resurrection appearances that he had after his death, and when he resurrected, there's some main thought through every one of them that is given to us, and I pray tonight God would help us as we think about those. Remember, the first one we talked about was a fact of comfort, and our Mary was weeping, and Jesus and the angels all asked her why we was thou, and trying to comfort her, and did comfort her, and I thank God for that. Then in Matthew 28, the boldness, when he told the women to go tell it, and I can't get over that. When they went to tell it, they ran into Jesus. And Jesus is always around poor people trying to tell somebody else about him. He's always there to help them and encourage them and strengthen them. I thank God for that. And so he, in that appearance, was real. And I praise God and thank God for it and rejoice in the fact that he did raise from the dead. And he made it well known that he did. And so he comforted and gave boldness. And then we talked about the fact of him, peace that he gives. Well, let me say before that, the restoration he did for Peter. And remember, he appeared to him. And then he appeared and for fellowship. We talked about this morning. And talked about that fellowship that he had with the disciples on the road to Damascus. And I don't know that I got across what I wanted to say this morning. And using the Old Testament illustrations I used, I'm thinking I'm going to redo that and try to make another message out of that, because I saw in that something that thrilled my heart as I saw each one of those men. And Abraham was out there in sin. He didn't know God, but God came by and called him out. And Moses, he knew about God. He'd been down there. His mother taught him. He knew about God, but he was out there on the backside of a desert and when he got ahead of God. And he knew about him. Then Isaiah, he went to church, but he wasn't interested in doing anything much except going to church and working. But God showed up, and he left out there and said, send me, let me go tell somebody. And so he changed him. I said I wasn't preaching, didn't I, on these things. But anyway, I can't help myself. And then you find the three Hebrew children, they wouldn't bow. They hadn't done anything wrong. They're just being persecuted. But Jesus showed up right in the midst of the flame, and praise God, he did show up for him. I praise God for that and rejoice in it. Then as we thought about that, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. When it comes time to cross over on the other side, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about crossing over. He'll be with you. And when he's with you, it doesn't make any difference what else happens. You know it'll be all right. Nobody's ever been with Jesus, ever got sunk, amen. The boat didn't sink. Jesus walked out and said, peace be still. And Peter, he said, save me. He reached down and picked him up. And people got hungry. Jesus fed them. The dead, they got raised. The sick got healed. So nobody ever been with Jesus, ever gotten any problem, amen. He's always able to get them out of it. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is the answer for all your problems. He's the answer for every disappointment, every discouragement, every thing that you go through. He is the answer. And here tonight, as he appears, I see this thought runs through my mind. Those last few verses I read, I started not to read. They're deep. They're hard. They're difficult. There's a lot of questions asked about them. And so tonight, when I get through preaching, you may ask me some questions, but I'll tell you in preaching what I know about them. That won't take me long to tell you, and we'll go home. Amen. But I can tell you this, there's some truths there, and God help me see some things. But what I'm really driving home tonight is peace. And our world cries, peace, peace, and there is no peace and will be no peace until the Prince of Peace gets here. And when he comes, praise God, there'll be peace. When he sets up his kingdom, there'll be peace on the earth as waters that cover the sea, the Bible said. And so we look forward to that day when Jesus shall rule and reign from Jerusalem and our world, all the war, all the crises and all the situations and everything that's going on and happening today. There will be a day that Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And it'll be a day of peace, 1,000 years of peace on this earth. Can you imagine that, living here 1,000 years in peace? And we'll be in glorified bodies, we that are saved. We'll be in glorified bodies and come back with Jesus. And the Bible says, well, so shall we ever be with him. If he's here ruling, then we'll be here with him ruling. And so thank God for that great thought that comes with that. It happens after the rapture, after the tribulation. And things are shaping up quickly and rapidly in our world. Things are happening. And I'm not saying what we've seen thus far is saying that Jesus is coming tomorrow and the next day. I'm just saying we're seeing some things change, some things happening, and some things going on that ought to get our attention to the fact that we're nearing the tribulation period. Not a sign of the coming of Jesus. It's a sign of the coming tribulation, because there will be no sign of the coming of Christ. He may come any moment of time. But for the Antichrist to step out, there's got to be a war coming, a world government and world system of religion, and all that's got to come, and economy, all that's got to come. And it's coming rapidly upon us today. Who ever thought you could do business here in America? You can call somebody in America and be talking about business right here in the country, and it'll be somebody over in another country you're talking to. That's why you can't half understand half of them. Amen. And but anyway, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know where they're coming from and how they are. And some of them sounds worse than the Kenya family. No, I'm kidding. I'm looking around to see who I could pick on. The Kenyans just showed up. Amen. No, I'm kidding, Brother Kenya. I understand most things you say. But I'm telling you, I'm sure if they try to listen to my hillbilly talk, they would say, what in the world is that? Who is he? Where did he come from? They probably didn't know whether I was American or not American. But anyway, I'm saying this tonight. There's some, it's shaping up. Let's just leave it that way. No real peace on the earth. And here, if you notice, verse 19, same day at evening. This is Sunday, first day of the week. And he's having a Sunday night meeting, by the way. And the first day of the week, doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Doors were shut. You remember this morning I was talking to you about the disciples going on the way of Emmaus, and when they got down there, they invited him, Jesus, into their house. And he went in with them, and he broke bread and blessed it and gave to them. And their eyes were open. They knew who he was. And the Bible says he vanished out of their sight. Now the Bible teaches us that our bodies shall be like his body. And he had a body that he, somebody said, how are you going to travel in a new body? I believe you just think where you're going to be and be there. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? Praise God. And Jesus just vanished out of their sight. And here they are and the door shut. And the Bible makes it plain the door shut so there'd be no question about it. He didn't open the door. He didn't knock. He just came in and didn't leave a hole in the wall, didn't leave anything like that. So when the rapture comes, I'm not going to leave a hole in the ceiling. And I don't believe the graves will burst open. Now, we talk about that a lot. Sounds good. And makes good preaching. But I don't believe the graves will burst open of people that are saved. I believe they'll come out and not even leave a crack in the ground. Glorified body. If we can go through a roof, they can come out of the ground. Hey, man, if I didn't believe that, wouldn't let them put me in no coffin or whatever you call them things you put them in. What am I trying to say? Vault, yeah, vault. I wouldn't let them put me in a vault and a coffin either if I thought I couldn't get out of it, amen. I mean, that's not going to stop you. It doesn't make any difference whether it's concrete, metal. Doesn't make any difference whether you're in a metal building, wood building, steel building, a brick building, whatever's in your way. It doesn't make any difference. In a glorified body, you just go and be there. Brother Bill, praise God. Those prisoners, some of them like to hear that, amen, and like to wish it'd work in this life. But right now, it don't work down here in prison, but it's going to work one day in this old body we're in. We'll get a new body like unto Jesus and just leave out of here and go to glory. And I say hallelujah for that. That's not what I'm preaching. I got to get on. I sidetracked that, run a rabbit for a few minutes, but rabbit smelt pretty good on that trail. Amen, because we're heading out of here. We're going home to be with Jesus one day. One day we'll come in this church, preach a last message. We'll come in here, sing a last song, and we'll come in here for the last time, and we're heading out and going home. I say hallelujah. Be a good place to be when Jesus comes, wouldn't it? Be a good place to be. Just be in the house of God, hearing the word of God or singing songs of Zion, whatever. And Jesus come and take us out and be at home with him. And so he said, peace be unto you. Look at verse number 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He showed them his hands and his side. And they knew it was him. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And twice he said to them, and as he appeared to them, peace be unto you. Have you noticed in Scripture when Jesus showed up and people were afraid and they were in difficult situations, he was either saying, be not afraid, or peace be still. Out there on the sea, he said, peace be still. Or either he's saying, be not afraid, it's I. And so Jesus still speaking that today. And you and I today are living in perilous times, reckless times, and sinful times, ungodly times, and times the devil is having a heyday. Our world has gone crazy over pleasure and over things that amount to nothing. And you and I are living in these days, but Jesus is speaking to us and saying, "Peace be still." Now, you'll never get the rest of what's said in these last two verses if you don't get peace first. Amen. We got to have peace with God so we can have the peace of God. There's a difference in peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God we have because we're saved. We have peace with God. But we have the peace of God because we are saved and we let God have his way in our hearts, our lives, and he's with us and gives us that peace. So he came in here to the disciples and they were afraid. And it was, they had heard the resurrection. Some had seen, few had seen him by that time. But they still was in a state of shock and a state of not knowing exactly what was going on. And Jesus just walks in and says, "Peace be still." I'm glad tonight Jesus can walk in your life and say, "Peace be still." Hey, some here tonight in your life, you're going through a crisis. Hey, some of you tonight struggling with situations in your life. And you're all mixed up and tore up and messed up. And Jesus walks in and says, "Peace be still," if you'll let him do that. Some here tonight's living in sin. Don't have Jesus where you ought to be in the rightful place in your life. You need to let Jesus come in. He'll say, "Peace be still." He's always doing that. In John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We're living in a day when people are afraid and tore up. But he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Over there in Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing." That is, don't worry about anything. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, man, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm glad he does, and he keeps that and gives us that peace. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." You remember Psalms 1 talks about meditating in the word of God day and night, and then said to be like trees planted by the rivers of water, bring forth their fruit in their season, leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever they do shall prosper. And he's saying the same thing here. He's saying peace is by keeping your mind on Jesus. And keeping your mind on the word of God is a way to keep your mind on Jesus and what God teaches and what he said. And prayer in the house of God and being witnesses and that kind of thing. And so brings peace. You meet people every day that are tore up and messed up and they don't know what to do. They're crying out and they're trying drugs, they're trying sex, they're trying alcohol, they're trying everything under heaven and trying to find something that'll help them and give them some peace. But I'm here to report to you tonight, Jesus is the only peace giver there really is, and he will give real, true, lasting peace. And you don't have to be afraid. Somebody said, "I'm afraid government's going to fall apart. And we're so broken down, in debt so bad, we'll never be able to make it." Listen, my citizenship is in heaven, and there's no breakup up there. It's never going to go broke. In fact, they're not even any debt in heaven. God don't owe anybody anything. Hallelujah. I say praise God. Ain't no debt, there's no taxes, there's nothing. It's all wonderful over there and already paid for. And even my salvation's already paid for because it's bought by Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. And I say tonight, thank God for a wonderful peace. Amen. If I could sing tonight, I'd sing "Peace Like a River." Amen. It's wonderful peace, glorious peace. And you don't have that in your heart tonight. You can't pillow your head and say, "Doesn't make any difference what happens in this world, where things go, how it goes, or what goes, who got the power, who isn't in power. My hope is in nothing else but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me at Calvary and his death, burial, and resurrection. I say to you tonight, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our help. He's the one that'll help you. He can help you and give you peace, and you can go home tonight and say, "It's all right because I have peace with God." And knowing peace with God, but I have the peace of God on the inside. You say, preacher, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You know how hard it is. I don't. I agree with you. I don't. But I know one who does. And the one that does said, I'll give you peace. And he came in those disciples, and they wasn't believing like they ought to. They wasn't exactly what they ought to be. But Jesus still came into them and said, peace be unto you. I'm glad, praise God, he can speak peace and make it real to you. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are not so, but are like the troubled sea when it casts up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace. Those people out there tonight, and maybe some in this house tonight, your life, you've tried this, that, and the other, and you have no peace, no lasting peace. You don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and your Savior. Or else you're saved and your life is lived out there on the backside of the desert, as it were, spiritually. You have no real refreshing joy in your heart. You need that peace, and you never find it. Wicked doing it. Those out there in the bars tonight and on the dance floors and out there thinking they're having, they don't have real peace. If you look down their hearts, you'd find sadness and uncertainties and find them going home and wringing their hands and all that kind of stuff. You and I can be in the house of God and know the real peace of God and say hallelujah, thank God for it. Now notice this peace. Now I wanted you to get that part of it. But I want you to look at verse number 22. After he had said in 21, verse 19, peace be to you. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, I thought the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. He did, in great power, and filled all of them. But here, he's talking to disciples, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, it's just the first fruits of Pentecost. And I guess that's one way of putting it. And he breathed on them. He breathed on them. That same word used when he breathed the life into Adam that day. And when God puts life in you, that eternal life, that life of God, the Holy Ghost is God in you. And so he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now there's a verse we struggle with and have a time with, but let me say this to you quickly. It's tied in with the verse just before it. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then he said, who's ever sinned you remember? And then here's the way I see it. Here's a commission given. Here's the instructions given that they are sent just like he was sent to go and tell people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the power is given for them to work in. That power is the Holy Ghost. And then it's told them that they have responsibility for whosoever sins they remit, they're remitting, whosoever they don't, that's not. So what he's saying to them is, you are responsible to carry the gospel unto those people, and they can hear the gospel, and by the Holy Ghost they can be saved. He doesn't say, nowhere in the Bible does it teach that man can forgive sins. Nowhere. You remember in Mark chapter 2 when they let the man down out of the roof, and he came down. And some of the, Jesus said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then told him to take up his bed and walk. Some sitting there, they said, no man can forgive sins. And they are absolutely right. No man can. Jesus Christ can, though. And here's what he's saying. I believe in these verses. He's saying, I'm giving you peace. I want you to settle down. Hey, as long as you're tore up and shook up, as long as you're messed up and worried about everything under heaven, you're not going to be any good in my kingdom. You've got to get peace in your heart, peace in your life, and live in peace. Thank God for that wonderful peace that covers our hearts and life. And then he said, I want you to know that if you got the peace, you are responsible to go. I'm giving you the power to go in. And you go, do your part. The Holy Ghost will do his part. And he'll do the convicting and drawing. I was thinking tonight, before I came into church, I was in the prayer room. I was thinking before I even came to church. I was thinking this morning before I got in the pulpit, how much I want to see people get saved. How much I want to see people get right with God. I want to see people know God and live for the Lord, have a real touch of God on them, and live like God wants them to live and do those things. But I can't make anybody get saved. I can't make anybody live for God. All I can do is be faithful to preach. I believe in my heart, if I'm faithful to do what God called me to do, God will take care of his part. God will take care. It's his part to save. It's his part to revive and stir hearts. All he wants me to do is be faithful and preach it and tell it. And so here the Holy Ghost does the work. And don't go out and think, well, the Bible says they could forgive sin. No, no. Nowhere did the disciples ever even say they could forgive sins or ever act like they could forgive sin. They're always pointing them to Jesus Christ that they might be saved and they might be forgiven. But we are responsible to go tell it. We are responsible to do our part. May God help us tonight. Peace be real in our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for a resurrected Savior that speaks peace to our hearts when the storms are raging, when we're being swung around as it were on the sea of life. Lord, you step out and say, peace be still. Lord, you gave us that peace with you when we got saved. Now that peace of God floods our hearts when we let you have your way. Lord, make us aware of your presence. And help us tonight, Father, in the invitation. I know not how to give as ought to give an invitation, but Lord, you do. I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit speak to some precious heart tonight. They don't have the peace of God, don't have peace with God. They need to come and bow an old-fashioned altar. Ask God to save them, Jesus to come into their hearts for them to be saved. Then, Lord, I pray that it only come for that, but they come tonight, those that are saved and away from God and not really resting in that peace. They'll come and really make a dedication to God, to live for God. You know what the needs are here tonight. Some carry heavy burdens for others. They may need to come and pray. But Father, whatever it is, help us all be made aware there's a living Christ, a living Savior that conquered and speaking peace tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.